This October 17th regular meeting of Orville City Council. We'll begin this evening in prayer with Reverend Gary DeHart.
Let us pray. Dear Father, we come this evening, Lord, just thanking you yet for another day and another opportunity. Lord, as we begin to go into this meeting, we would just ask that you would clear the air, that you would guide the minds that of each and everyone that's present in every decision-making process that they're about to embark on tonight. Father God, we thank you for the city of Orville for allowing prayer before the opening of the meeting when so many other places are turning this portion away, that they still reverence you, dear Heavenly Father. And since they reverence you, Lord, let them look to you in their decision-making processes, and you will guide them according to your will and not their will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Clerk, could please call the roll.
Hanward.
Here.
Espiris.
Here.
Shanklin.
Here.
Orson.
Here.
Carr.
Here.
Mosley.
Here.
Wilson.
Mr. Wilson is excused. You should have received a copy of the meeting minutes from the October 3rd, 2022 meeting. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make that motion.
Mr. Shanklin moves.
I'll second.
And Ms. Carr seconds.
Espiris.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Orson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Hanward.
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Thank you. We have no one scheduled to give us public comment this evening, so we'll move on our agenda to our standing committee reports, and we begin with our Parks and Recreation Committee. Mr. Hanward, good evening.
Good evening, Council President. Thank you. Parks and Recreation has not met, therefore I have no report. However, I do want to let everyone know that this weekend is our third annual Fall Festival, which is hard to believe, third annual. That is Saturday, October the 22nd from 5 to 8 p.m. at Heller Hall. And I just want to thank our service department, who's put a lot of effort into the trail itself to get it up to speed. They've taken care of all the low-lying wet areas, so it's a nice trail to walk through. And then also the American Legion, the Orville Public Library, the Orville Lions Club, and the Orville Theater Group. Those are all contributors to help make this community event possible. So that's all I have.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. And our Utilities Committee, Mr. Shanklin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Utilities Committee has not met, therefore I have no report.
All right, thank you. Our Ordinance and Personnel Committee, Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance and Personnel has no issues before it, therefore we have not met. I have no report.
All right, thank you. Our Transportation Committee, Mr. Mosley.
Thank you, Mr. President. Transportation Committee has not met, however, just have a couple things. One, all street projects for 2022, that was on our master plan list, have been completed. There's only one item that we didn't get to. Obviously, I'm happy. That was the paint for the three-way on Smucker and Hostetler. Obviously, I assume that we'll probably get to that next year. We've had a really good busy season. I am extremely happy with everything that was done, along with the park project and all that good stuff. We do recognize that we're using the same people, you know, with our street projects and basins and all that good stuff, and then pulling them over to do a lot in the park. So between that crew and the street department, Steve, Dan and the mayor and everyone coordinating, you know, $1.3 million in street projects along with everything that we've done in the parks, I would say that we've added $4.99, I would say, if it's not perfect. So I want to thank you guys for that, and I understand that you guys are now gearing up for leaves and snow and all that good stuff. So yes, good luck in this next busy season. So with that, I have nothing else, Mr. President.
Good. All right. If it snows tomorrow, we know who to blame now. So.
It's coming.
About the Safety Committee, Mr. Espiris, who wins the Scary Tie Award tonight?
Thank you, Mr. President. So Health and Safety has not met, and I have no report for you tonight, sir.
Thank you. And our Planning Committee, Ms. Carr.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Planning Committee has not met, therefore I have no report.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson is excused, and we have no special committee reports this evening, so we move on to administrative reports. And we'll begin with Mayor Hanford.
Thank you, Mr. President. Two items tonight. Council, I need to ask your approval for
a couple of appointments. Usually this will be a little closer to the end of the year, and there will be some more coming. But we have one that actually can take effect right away if you approve that one. And another one that we know is going to be coming, so I thought we might as well do that one too while we're at it. But the first one is from the Board of Zoning Appeals. Dave Maurer has been having some health issues and has decided that he's going to step off of that board. And we thank him for his service. He's been on there quite a few years, I think. And taking his place will be John Barber. John lives in Oroville, works at the Genie down in Mount Hope. He was actually recommended by Kevin Domer, who knows him, and he's on that board. So I think I've talked to John. He should be a real good addition. And then the second one, if we want to do them both together, Utility Board, Don McFarland is just actually termed out after the end of this year. He's given us a lot of years on the Utility Board. And so when he steps down at the end of the year, Joe Messenger has agreed to take his place. And Joe is a former employee of the power plant, so I think that'll be a good match. That's what I have for now. Like I said, there'll be more later in the year.
All right, we need a motion to approve those.
Yeah,
can we do both of those in the same motion, or do we do those?
We have before. I think we can.
All right, very good. So do we have a motion?
I move to approve the list of nominees.
Okay. Morrison moves.
Second.
Second, Mr. Spears.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
All right, thank you. Appreciate that.
We'll move on to our Safety Service Director, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. As Councilman Mosley mentioned, leaf pickup season is starting here soon. The citywide leaf pickup service does begin November 7th on the south end, which is from November 7th to November 18th. Then they move over to the north end, November 21st to December 2nd. And then the final pass throughout the entire city is December 5th through December 16th. Also a reminder, trick or treat is 6 to 8 p.m. on October 31st. Just leave your porch light on if you wish to participate. And also, November 1st begins our 2023 park reservations begin. City Hall doors open at 5 a.m. City offices open at 8 a.m. And there will be a line, so if you really have a date in mind, you might want to get there early. It's almost like a Black Friday shopping, I guess. Also, as Councilman Mosley mentioned, the asphalt street project is finished. They are still doing some curb work, crosswalk work on Crown Hill and Smucker. And that's my report for this evening.
Very good. Any questions, comments? We'll move on to our utilities director. Welcome back, Mr. Brenner.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple items. The electric utility will be issuing a contract this week for three of our main power transformers as part of our transmission line project. Those will be contracts. Will be awarded to a firm called Virginia Transformer out of Virginia. Nice thing about them, they are a minority business owner in there. So we're ordering three transformers, a total of about $6.1 million, and they will be here in about 10 to 16 months. So your $1 million doesn't go very far anymore. I think I mentioned or left a note at the meeting I wasn't able to attend last time that we did complete a lot of our smoke testing throughout the city with our wastewater treatment plant and our contractors. We did receive the report. We will be doing a brief overview at the utility board meeting next Monday, and then I'll follow up with some of those highlights at the next city council meeting. But we found a few things, a few easy pickings, and then a few more that are going to be a little bit more challenging for us. But we'll talk about those a little bit more and a little bit about what Mr. Crothers' plans are going to be to help us minimize some of the water infiltration that's coming in through our waste treatment piping system and entering that plant. As we walked in and enjoyed the coolness of winter, These are in the final days of very low natural gas. So through the end of this month, our good program that we negotiated 2 years ago will expire at end of this month. And I think I mentioned a couple meetings before that that the time that we normally go out for bid for our aggregation program was a terrible time when the market was high. A lot of volatility. We weren't able to even secure a fixed pricing for the next period. So starting in the November billing, we will see our rates go to a variable rate, and that will change every month, roughly on a month-to-month basis through Dominion, and that goes through March of 2023. And then after that, we will shift to a fixed rate of $6.61. So for a point of reference, we're paying $3.05 now. When we were out shopping during the aggregation period, we couldn't even get it under three times that amount. So we were over 10 at that time. Good news is the Dominion fixed month rate is dropping now. Last month it was around $9.50. This month it's around $7. Still twice what we're paying right now, but for the time being it's going a little bit in a more favorable direction. I just checked the state's website today. There are a couple lower fixed priced options out there, but not too much, and you really need to read the fine print. There's some strings attached to that. I don't expect those to be anything of any real value, but Since we're in a different place, probably about every month here until we see some relief in the horizon, I will be reporting out. If there's some other opportunities in there, you know, I'll certainly make everybody aware of that. The good thing about our program is if you're in our program right now, you don't have to do anything. If a better deal does come along, you can get out of our program without any cancellation fees or penalties, and you can get back in, and you can do that any time over the year. So before our rate goes into a fixed effect in April, we do have the opportunity with the company that we signed up with to go out and test the market again. So there is an opportunity for us midway through 2023 to maybe readjust that even lower. But the days of cheap gas are behind us, at least for this next period. So stay tuned for that. If you have any questions on that, ask our office. There was a lot of information that was mailed out to all of our customers from our gas aggregation supplier, IGS, already. And if you still have some questions, you can go to the Public Utilities Energy Choice website. It's called Apples to Apples. You go on there, you click on natural gas, you click on residential, and we are all in Dominion natural gas territory, and it'll give you the whole 40 or 50 different suppliers out there. So it is still an ugly time to be buying natural gas, but the prices are coming down a little bit more from last year. But all it takes is the first snowflakes or something else going on across the ocean, and we'll see those things kind of spike up a little bit here. So. We're expecting a few more questions from our customers this year just because the program's a little bit differently just due to the market volatility. The last item I had is at the last city council meeting, the mayor and I and some of our staff attended our state association's annual conference. A couple of highlights that came out of that is our power plant personnel and our distribution departments received safety accommodations. They went an entire year without any lost time accidents. That's a great testament to the programs we have in place. And they aren't any strangers to those safety accommodations. We also received recognition for a mutual aid opportunity that we had with one of our AMP members. And the last thing I had, I was reelected to another term to serve as AMP's chair of their board of trustees. And with that, Mr. President, that would conclude our utilities report for tonight.
Thank you very much. Questions, comments? All right, we'd also like to welcome back Ms. Strimlin.
Thank you. Good evening. I have no report this evening, Mr. President.
Thank you. And Mrs. Kirkreiter, Law Director.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report this evening.
I have no update for us either tonight, and so we can move on then in our agenda. We have no old business for this evening, so we move on to new business. And Mr. Worsen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Resolution 4122, I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Mosley.
Worsen.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Ms. Ferris.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
Resolution 4122, a resolution approving the Stark Tuscarawas Wayne Joint Solid Waste District Waste Management District's 2023 Solid Waste Management Plan update and declaring an emergency.
Very good. Of course, an emergency means it goes into effect immediately instead of waiting 30 days. Right. Mr. Wheeler, do you have any comments for you?
Thank you, Mr. President. This is just a regular update of the Solid Waste District Plan. The last one that was done in 2019, going into effect in 2020. It is a periodical revision and updating to the plan. Much of the plan, if you had a chance to take a look at it, is just studying and taking into account growth in, throughout the counties and making sure there's appropriate landfill and space for solid waste, as well as a push for recycling. There is a requirement of 25% recycling. If you've seen the short update that was included in your packet, the district has done a great job of far exceeding that 25%. The plan really doesn't have any direct impact on us other than kind of lays out what the district's plans are for the future in regards to just addressing the continuing growth of solid waste and pushing more recycling. So this program also is where we get our annual grants, of which we do distribute 40 cents to our trash bill to every resident, and that's directly as a result of our participation in the plan, the program, and recycling as well. Glad to answer any questions. This did go through public hearing as already, and does have to be approved within 90 days, so it doesn't have to be approved tonight if council wants to meet.
Well, I can say that both as a resident and also professionally, I work closely with the Solid Waste District in my job, and know that the synergies that we gain working with those three counties together through that organization are huge. And a lot of money comes back to the community through grants and that sort of thing. And most importantly, a lot of trash is diverted from the landfill and recycling efforts. The thing that really constrains us is the market for recycling things.
Sure.
And the fact that they've been able to maintain the level of recycling that we've been able as citizens to maintain that, and the Solid Waste District has been able to move that along, that's really big in an economy that saw the value of recycled materials tank not so very long ago. So all that considered, I just wanted to give some kudos to the Solid Waste Management District, and I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Ms. Ferris.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Worsen.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
I move resolution 4122 be adopted as read.
Second.
Second, Mr. Spiritz.
Mosley.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Ms. Ferris.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Worsen.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Resolution 4222. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Spiritz.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Spiritz.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Thorson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
Resolution 4222. A resolution authorizing the Board of Control to enter into an agreement and/or agreements with the State of Ohio Purchasing Cooperative Department of Administrative Services to purchase one 2022 or 2023 Ford Police Interceptor Utility V6 all-wheel drive vehicle, or alternatively, to purchase said vehicle from another dealer upon equivalent terms, conditions, and specifications, but at a lower price than it can be purchased through the state contract as allowed by Ohio Revised Code Section 125.04, or alternatively, to procure quotes and enter into an agreement and or agreements for said purchase and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Mueller sent a memo saying it's very difficult to find one of these right now.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yeah, this feels like deja vu. It is. This similar resolution was passed in May. The quotes part of that resolution is the only thing that's different from the prior resolution. The police department, Captain Pauley and Chief Birkbeck, have been on the hunt for a vehicle since then. The state bid, weren't able to find one through the state bid. As a result, they weren't able to find one lower than the state bid as well. The prices are going up tremendously. We're hearing an $8,000 increase for the 2023s. So Captain Pauley, in particular, has been on scouring for vehicles and found a similar model, the exact same model in Indiana, a 2022. And of course, they said we won't hold it. Which is fine, but so that's why we come here before you tonight, trying to get the appropriate language so that we're able to make that purchase and move forward. And this would be for this calendar year's purchase. And the price is obviously higher than the normal quote, but it is within what we have budgeted, so the money's there. Also, we have been informed there will not be a 2023 state bid at all. So that's kind of what we're looking at right now.
Questions, comments?
Yes, sir.
Can you maybe explain what our fleet looks like? Do we have enough vehicles? Is this is a replacement of an old vehicle, or how? Maybe explain that a little bit.
It is, and if you don't mind, I'll ask the chief to come up and kind of detail that for you.
So we're fine right now. It's not like this is a replacement. What we've been doing over the last several years, for many, many years, we had half as many cars as we had police officers. And we were only getting very little on trade-in. So I've been holding on to cars. Instead of trading in a car for, you know, and I'm glad we did at this point, very glad we did, but instead of trading in and getting $800 for a police car, I've just been holding on to it. And some of our very oldest, we use as school resource officer cars. There's still cars that in an emergency can be used, or in a parade, or in a situation where we need to, you know, have a major response. But my philosophy has been, you effectively cut the department in half if we have a major incident that we have to respond to, and you only have 8 cars out there, and we have 16 people. So we are not to that point yet. We are getting close. Over the past several years, I have not traded a car in. It's not like we've done anything different purchasing-wise. We typically would purchase one car a year and trade in a car, but the return on the investment was so bad, basically, that we've been holding on to cars so that we can increase our fleet. So that's really where we're at. So we're not in dire straits by any means. It's it's just kind of, we're kind of hopeful to get this by. So we're going to be in the same boat next year, I think. But
so at this point, we have the newer Explorer body. That's the
product. That's the only option. That's the only, other than if you went with another manufacturer, which is more expensive. But the other reason why we do that is if we need to retire a vehicle, if we did retire a vehicle, retire a Ford, those parts would sure. cross over to a Ford.
And then the school resource vehicle is the older body Explorers, correct?
And that old Crown Vic.
We still have a Crown Vic.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we've held on to those. I will tell you, I drive the Taurus, if you will. I appreciate the Crown Vic because that Taurus has no room at all in it.
Okay.
But yeah, that they did away with the sedans. I don't know if Dodge still makes one, but they're just very, very crammed, and Ford doesn't make them anymore. I think manufacturers in general are getting away from sedans and smaller vehicles. So But to answer your original question, I think we are at 12 cruisers, and this one will be 13. Now, the old Explorer is getting to the point. That never was a pursuit vehicle, but it's getting to the point where we will be thinking about retiring that someday soon. But my goal was to kind of try to get it to where, get real close to where every officer on the department had a marked unit. I think in terms of times when, say for instance, we've had this in recent, you know, where a kid doesn't come home from school and we need to have a response. And as that time goes by, you know, you start to worry a little bit more, and then you start to get real, as it starts to get nightfall, you start to really worry about that kid. And, you know, I want to be able to have officers that can respond and we can scour the entire city. So that's one of the main reasons why I like the idea of having that many in, again, at a parade situation or something where traffic control is needed.
Thank you.
Yep.
I just have a couple of comments. One of them is, obviously, you guys hold on the cars. I think that was a great idea. I was working with Chris Bowman in my garage over the weekend, and he made a comment. He looked at me, he goes, did it work with getting new cop cars? And I looked up, and it was an older painted style Taurus. And I said, no, that's actually a very well good kept car that they're just taking really good care of. So I think us holding on to those, just so when you have a homicide or something where, you know, you have to call an officer in, he's coming in with no car.
Yeah, we've actually gotten to the point where if you live close enough, they can take the cars home, and that just makes it so much simpler. They can come straight from home to a scene instead of when we used to have to run down, find a parking space with our private vehicle, race around. We might be down at the Pine Street Garage where we would normally store them, and you don't even have a car down there. I remember being very frustrated and hunting for a car. So, and shout out to our service department for doing a great job in keeping our fleet. Seagrass does a great job of keeping those cars serviced and up to speed.
Yep, and then another part on our local part of trying to find a vehicle, and there's one point where you would look at White's Ford and their entire lot would be full of cars, and it's not like that anymore. I think there was a big, you know, there's a big, it was hard for us to get a street department truck, you know, up there at Ford because they couldn't find it. Mm-hmm. So with you guys going to another state and finding that cruiser.
I really didn't. I expected it to be late this year, but I thought since we were able to get a car in 2020 and 21, you know, real late in the year, I was expecting that. Right. But I think that the supply chain issues, and then to just add an educational piece to this, I don't understand why there's not going to be a state bid, but Ford is only taking 2023. That window is closed. So you can't order one. So a small dealership that didn't, like a lot of dealerships will order like a bunch of these, maybe 500 of these, and they'll just, then that's probably what this dealership is doing here that we're getting from. But a small dealership can't really count on doing business that way. So this is a very strange year. I did not anticipate us having any issue because this falls outside of what our normal business has been like. Even though we did expect delays in delivery, we didn't expect it to be virtually impossible to find a car.
Thank you. Appreciate you explaining all that.
Mr. President, this was a planned and budgeted item. Really, the only thing we're revisiting here is opening it up to be able to vote.
Yes.
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second. Secretary Shanklin.
Ms. Barris.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
I move resolution 4222 be adopted as read.
Second. Second, Mr. Hamburg.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Ms. Barris.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Thank you very much. That concludes our new business for this evening. Do we have any comments? We'll go to the order. I just had a quick question that just occurred to me. I've noticed from time to time the railroad crossing there has been malfunctioning. Do we have any information on that? Or
we've been working with Norfolk folks on it. They're finding that when they're down farther that shouldn't be activating, it is being activated. I know Mr. Lau has been working with him quite a bit on trying to figure that out. Police department's obviously very much in the loop on that as well, as they've been asked to kind of patrol down there when there's that need. So we're just trying to work with Norfolk Southern and hoping they figure out the malfunction.
Is when that's malfunctioning, is someone notified or is someone aware of it? Or?
Yeah, it's normally on, normally we are. Norfolk Southern, if it's kind of during regular hours, may contact us, but normally it is by visual, you know, visually seeing that there's an issue. So.
Anything else? Yes, Mr. Warson.
Mr. President, just a few weeks ago, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of the opening of Wayne College. And I know that a lot of people back in the late 60s, early 1970s worked very hard to bring a campus of a major university here. And I think it's been a very, very big success, and it's been a huge asset to the community. So I just wanted to mention that.
Anything else? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Larson moves.
Second.
Mosley seconds.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Edward?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
We'll be flipping the calendar over to November when Orrville City Council meets again, November 7th, 2022. Until then, we are adjourned.
CJ.